Donald Trump is the only candidate in America on both sides that cannot be bought. He is running because he loves this country. He loves this country's people, and he wants to save it from the hell that Joe Biden has put it through. USA,
home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
From the land of the free and the brave, USA. I love my country, they can't take that.
All right, welcome back, Financial Guys Media Network. Mike Spiraza in for another exclusive interview today. I have the pleasure of having Caroline Levitt, a spokeswoman for MAGA Inc., with me today. Caroline, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So if you didn't get the hint, MAGA Inc., she's working, for the president, but working on the president in terms of the campaign and plugging what he does really well, Caroline. I've seen you on Newsmax. I've seen you on Fox News, a lot of different places, and you've said a lot of great things. I saw you go at it with a Ron DeSantis campaigner the other day. I like that. That was a lot of fun. Let me just talk about a few talking points, though, about the president and issues that the left is now claiming the president has. So just this week, he was in, was it New Hampshire he was in with the, where the, or South Carolina
it
was.
Carolina, yeah.
Yeah. And he went to a gun store, and now they're saying that, he violated his legal obligations. He went and bought a gun. From everybody that was there said that was not true. Your thoughts on the left now saying he should be put in jail for buying a firearm?
Honestly, it's completely unsurprising at this point. They will do and say anything that they possibly can to try and attack President Trump. He was visiting a small business, visiting a gun store in the great state of South Carolina. The owners there are big supporters of his, and they had gifted him a Glock that was ingrained with Trump 45. And then the Democrats, you know, absolutely went ballistic in trying to say that he was violating laws. And it's just ridiculous. This is what they do. They go after President Trump for absolutely everything, but then they turn a blind eye to the real crimes committed by their own party, namely Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, who almost evaded charges on a federal gun violation, which he's now facing an indictment for, with an attorney that was handpicked by Merrick Garland, who's from Biden's home state. So the corruption goes on and on, and the Democrat side of the media says nothing, but they're constantly attacking the former president. Voters see right through this crap. It really doesn't matter. You see that in the polls, surely.
The talking point that might be my favorite ever, though, this now Democrat talking point they're spewing everywhere, is that because Trump misspoke about one thing in 3 years, he's now in cognitive decline. So they're playing what the right are doing with Joe Biden, which is actually accurate. I do believe we have a Weekend at Bernie situation in the White House right now. But now they're saying that, how can we trust Trump? He's in cognitive decline. The man can't remember things. He can't speak about things. This is the funniest thing in the world to me, though, because those are the same people still pushing Joe Biden as their president. How can you say that about Donald Trump, who, by the way, can go do a 3-hour speech no problem? You've seen it. I've seen it. You've been to them. How can they get away with that? And voters, how do voters not see right through that, Caroline, honestly?
Well, voters do see right through that. They are smart enough to realize that the media is lying to them, and the American public believes what they see with their own eyes. If you look at some of the polling, more than 70% of Americans don't think that Joe Biden is cognitively or physically fit enough to serve for the next 4 years. That's not the case when it comes to President Trump. It's actually the inverse of those numbers. So people see what they see, right? Which is that Donald Trump is hosting rallies with thousands of people every single week in multiple states. He's doing hard-hitting interviews with very hostile journalists, while Joe Biden is essentially campaigning from the White House basement again. He has not done any interviews with reporters that are actually real journalists asking hard questions about he and his family's corruption and their horrific policies that they're pushing from this White House. And every single time Joe Biden goes in public, he embarrasses not only himself, but our country, especially on the world stage. He was just overseas, and he made numerous gaffes that were pathetic and cringeworthy. And at that summit in India a few weeks ago, Russia and China didn't even attend because they realized Joe Biden is the weakest president this country has ever had. He's not fit to serve. He's not capable of leading our military or this great nation. And the American public recognizes that. And that's why Donald Trump right now is beating Joe Biden in general election polling by 10 points. He's winning with independents by more than 20 points in some polls, and he's leading the Republican primary in every single early state by 30 to 40 points because people, one, recognize that he's fit to serve, that he's capable of leading our military and reinvigorating our economy, and they miss the Trump-era policies that were beneficial to them and their families, and especially their wallets.
I had the honor to be a guest of the Trump team at the CNN town hall, and I saw him. I was 15 feet away from him. He was absolutely on fire, and there was no cognitive issues there. That I had not been to a rally, but I was there 15 feet away from him. And he, and by the way, you mentioned a hostile environment. Caitlin Collins was not so friendly to President Trump, so she was all over him, and he knew what he was doing, and he got right after it. And I,
he pulled out the receipts on her. He brought the facts.
He did. Everybody in that crowd loved that. I can tell you that much. You brought up polling, so let's go there next. 2024 polling. We'll start with the Republican primary polling. You mentioned it. He's up 30, 40, even 50 points in some areas. There's a debate. This episode will air on Thursday, so it'll be after the debate, but I want to get your thoughts before the debate. I'll tell you real quick on my end. One thing that got me in the last debate with all eight of those contestants, I'll call them, contestants to be his vice president, I think is the way to do it, but those eight candidates, only two of them oppose sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine, Caroline. To me, if you're advocating for sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine, is that not a non-starter?
Mm-hmm. It definitely is, and I think the public is warming up to that, especially now as they're hard-earned paychecks every single month are being robbed because of Bidenomics and record high inflation. The average American family is losing $700 a month, more than $7,000 a year. And so I think people are sick and tired of seeing their paychecks go over to a country very far away to protect their border, to support their law enforcement, when our law enforcement here in American cities is being attacked maliciously every day because of Democrat lawless policies. And President Trump is the only Republican in this race that is calling for peace, that's calling for an end to the war, that's not calling for more support, more aid, so that this war can drag on. He's calling for peace on both sides. He says he wants to stop the killing of both Russians and Ukrainians. And he's the only candidate, and frankly, both sides of the aisle, that can do that, that can call Putin and Zelensky, bring them to the table and negotiate a deal. Vladimir Putin answered Donald Trump's calls when Trump was in the White House. He doesn't answer Joe Biden's calls. This current president, Joe Biden, is incapable of really seeing an end to this war. And that's a solution that we all should want, an end to the war, an end to the killing. If we continue to send more and more and more aid over there, what's going to happen? It's going to be another 20 years, just like the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and thousands of Americans are going to be killed. So Donald Trump is really the only one, and he says it all the time, and he's right, that can literally prevent World War III from happening. And if Joe Biden is in this office for another 4 years, you can almost guarantee that this world is going to be in a war and that our American soldiers are going to be boots on the ground in countries far away fighting for causes that don't impact the American public.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a matter of time, we know it, that China may walk into Taiwan too, right? So you're going to have two issues.
Right.
And, you know, I've said this, and this is another thing about our border that, you know, a topic of this debate I'm sure will be brought up. But at some point, Caroline, don't we have to worry about our own stuff going on here? Record overdoses, record crime, wide open borders, you know, drug use, and everything is at record highs. You can't go any higher, it feels like, than we're going, literally, at this point. At what point, and it's not just Joe Biden, by the way, and it's not just liberals, it's a lot of conservatives, too, that keep making excuses for this or keep advocating for certain things like safe shooting heroin zones or like, hey, let these people in. We'll give them identification. We'll let them get work visas like AOC. We can't keep doing that. Both sides of the aisle have to come together and say that, do they not?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you brought up the record number of overdoses. This is one of the few media interviews I've ever done where that topic has been brought up to me. And it is literally the number one leading cause of death of young Americans in this country today, aged 18 to 30. It's Chinese fentanyl that's pouring over our southern border in the hands of Mexican drug cartels who are running our nation's southern border, are being aided and abetted and enriched by the Biden administration's open border policies. And that fentanyl is flowing into every single community in America. Here in my home state of New Hampshire, our overdose death rate has increased to the highest level since ever. And it was a record low level in 2018 when President Trump was in office. Why? Because we secured our borders and we were not allowing these drugs to come into our communities at the rates that they certainly are free flowing now. This is a tragedy that every American should be aware of. Every American is aware of it because we all know people that have died at the hands of fentanyl and heroin. This administration never talks about it. The media in this country never talks about it. And it's the number one cause of death. And the Chinese and the Mexican drug cartels are getting rich off it. President Trump has the strongest plan of any candidate in this race to wage a war back onto the cartels and to ensure that these mass killings of Americans with the poisonous fentanyl end. He's pledged to use the military to go after the drug cartels. He's pledged to use our Navy to create a blockade in the Pacific and Atlantic oceans to stop fentanyl from being trafficked through Latin America and into our United States. And he's also pledged to deploy the largest mass deportation operation in American history to get the millions of illegals who have evaded our laws, who have disrespected our country, out. Sorry, when Donald Trump comes back into the White House, you're going back home where you belong, and you can come here if you may legally by abiding by the process like so many great legal immigrants have done before you. But those that have broken our laws over the past couple of years will be gone if President Trump is president, and that should be welcome news to Republicans, Democrats, all Americans, especially in these Democrat-run cities where you see the sanctuary cities policies just aren't working. It's breaking New York. It's breaking San Francisco down to a point where even their Democrat mayors are admitting that Biden's border crisis is impacting every American community, both with the illegal fentanyl and the illegal aliens.
So I want to get into the border before we go into the 2024 race even further. The reason I bring that overdose topic up, Caroline, and the drug topic up is I actually lost two brothers, one in 2009 and one in 2013, to drug-related suicides because they were addicted. It wasn't fentanyl then because that wasn't really here yet. But the drug crisis, it affects – I'm in Buffalo, New York. That's where that happened. It's not the southern border that, of course, that's where it's coming from. But people look like Democrat leaders look at like the southern border. Oh, that's something, you know, it's the southern border's problem. No, it's every state, every county, every city is a border county at this point. Mm-hmm. It just is, right? Mm-hmm. And sadly, it affects families like mine. And I wish they cared about that stuff. And they prove time in and time out that they don't. Safe shooting heroin zones don't work. Mm-hmm. Crack pipe vending machines in New York City are the most idiotic idea I've ever heard, right? But they continue to support these policies. And you bring up the border with Kathy Hochul this week. She says, we got, this is a problem. We can't do that. We need the National Guard. No kidding, Kathy. It's been a problem for 3 years. We all knew this. I could have told you that for free.
Right. It's so true. And thank you for sharing that about your brothers. And it's such a shame that families like yours and so many families across this country have had to lose loved ones at the hands of this deadly drug when this is completely unavoidable, right? We can actually implement policies that work, that are based on law and order to prevent these drugs from coming in to our communities and taking the lives of innocent Americans. Yet Joe Biden is more focused on what? The threat of white supremacy or domestic terrorism. He actually has the audacity to claim that those are the number one issues in America today, white supremacy? No, it's Chinese fentanyl killing young Americans. President Trump is one of the only candidates running that's talking about it. He's also the only candidate that has a tangible, comprehensive plan to end it and to wage a war back on the drug cartels that are taking American lives.
And I'd go one step further. Drug dealers in the United States, if you're dealing fentanyl, the death penalty is on the table. I believe that because you're killing people every day. Every time you hand a bag of heroin, anything laced with fentanyl, you are committing a murder or attempted murder every single day.
Yes. And President Trump has also said that he will absolutely ensure the death penalty is stated for those that deal these deadly drugs and kill their fellow citizens.
I love to hear that. Let's go to the primary first. Obviously, Trump is leading significantly right now. I know, again, you had that debate with the Ron DeSantis campaign person. What can happen in this debate or in the potential debate in November if Trump goes, if Trump doesn't go, it doesn't matter. What's the play for these other candidates, Caroline? Because Chris Christie's obviously is Trump's the worst. I can't stand him. That's Chris Christie's platform. The platform of Vivek is very similar to that of Donald Trump. I really don't know what Ron DeSantis is doing to separate himself personally. What are the plays for these other people? I really don't know.
Yeah, well, that's a question you'd have to ask them. The only thing I know is that they are burning through millions and millions of dollars in their donors' cash, and their only return on investment is their plummet and demise in the polls. Nobody is catching up to Donald Trump. He has held a steady, commanding, dominant lead in this primary for months now. 30 points in Iowa, 30 points in New Hampshire, 40 plus points in many of the other early primary states. You've seen Ron DeSantis. He was the establishment darling, if you will, at the beginning of this primary. The legacy media was all about him. The corporate donor class that wants to try and buy our elections while we want to decide our elections were all about him too, gave him hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's burned it. And what has it gotten him? He's fifth in New Hampshire. He's fighting for his political life in second place in Iowa. He's now third or fourth, maybe, in South Carolina, and he's trending backwards. And there's a couple of reasons. First of all, voters can smell a phony from a mile away. Ron DeSantis is a phony. He's a fake. He's owned by the corporate billionaire donor class. He's flip-flopped on multiple issues, particularly the war in Ukraine, which is the greatest foreign policy issue pressing the American people at this time. He called it a territorial dispute, and one of his main billionaire donors didn't like that very much. And so just a couple days later, Ron DeSantis walked that back and pledged to continually support the war in Ukraine. And so if he's already being pushed around now and he's not even our nominee, imagine what will happen when those donors feel as though they've bought him the White House. Donald Trump is the only candidate in America on both sides that cannot be bought. He is running because he loves this country. He loves this country's people, and he wants to save it from the hell that Joe Biden has put it through. Look at the record achievements that Donald Trump accomplished in his first term in office. You had a signing of the Abraham Accords, a Middle East peace agreement that no one could have ever dreamed of before an outsider like Donald Trump walked into the White House. You had record low unemployment for all Americans, Hispanic Americans, women, Black Americans. Everyone was making a heck of a lot more money then than they are now under Bidenomics and Joe Biden. Our border was secure. Our law enforcement felt heard. There was peace around the world and also here at home. And so the American public wants that again. None of these other Republican candidates have a snowball's chance in hell at winning this nomination. And it's time for them, frankly, to suck up their ego, suck up their pride, and unify, drop out, endorse Donald Trump so we can take this fight and use these resources to go after Joe Biden and save our country.
Yeah, amen to that. And I agree with you. I got about one or two more minutes left with you. This last question, I think, is an important thing for me. And I'm a diehard Donald Trump voter. I voted for him twice already. This is an easy third for me. And I am very vocal about that. And I everybody in our here at our media station, they know that I'm the Trump candidate in our office. But how does he drain the swamp fully this time, Caroline? Because I think the one thing I would say that maybe I would have liked last term is to truly get rid of some of the people like the Faucis of the world and even some of the people around them. I saw yesterday that he kind of gave Lindsey Graham a pass on a little bit at that speech yesterday in South Carolina. Those types of people in my mind, like Lindsey Graham promoting funding Ukraine, like that to me, again, it's a non-starter. Like if you want to spend $100 billion over there and not close our own border, that's a real problem for me. How does Donald Trump say to those types of people, get in line or get out?
Yeah, as President Trump has always said, right, he was a guy from New York before he took the White House in Washington, D.C. by storm. At this point now, he has 4 years under his belt. He knows who he was loyal. He knows who is not. And I can assure you that the next administration will be full of America first warriors who want to do right by we, the American people. And I would encourage your audience to go to DonaldJTrump.com. Click on Agenda 47, because President Trump has unveiled a 10-step plan to dismantle the deep state and to really take an axe to it and to ensure that we are firing bureaucrats who are not going along with the agenda that the American people elect, with the administration and the policies that we're trying to enact. And so it's a fantastic plan. Again, I encourage your audience to look it up, Donald Trump's plan to dismantle the deep state, and it's on DonaldJTrump.com.
Real quick, who runs for the Democrats in 2024? Do you really believe it's Joe Biden? Because I'm on the Michelle Obama train personally. I think that is who I think, because you can't actually run Joe Biden at this point, especially against Trump. Again, if they get on a debate stage together, it's going to be worse than it ever was. I just don't know how you put him up there. Gavin Newsom states an epic disaster. Who do you put up there?
Yeah, in terms of Michelle Obama, I think that she's enjoying vacationing in Spain a little too much to come back and get in the political fight. Sure. But I'm not sure. I mean, at this point, they're running with Sleepy Joe, and time is ticking, right? It's almost October. Iowa caucuses are coming up in a few months. So even if they do try and switch the bait, it's going to be very difficult for them to introduce a new candidate to the American public and get them on board. So either way, the Democrats are screwed, and that's why they are scared as hell that Donald Trump has never been stronger. His base is alive. He's winning independents again, and he's going to take back the White House. I firmly believe it.
Don't sleep on Hillary Clinton either. She's always ready to put her hat in the ring. Of course,
that'd be great as well.
That would be great. Michelle Obama scares me because of people with the Obamas, but anybody other than that doesn't really scare me. And I think you're right. I think she does like her life in the private world. I'll say traveling to Spain and other places. Caroline Levitt, spokeswoman for MAGA Inc. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, folks, meet us throughout the week, 833 Fin Guys. Don't forget about our three podcasts, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and our morning show at 8:15, a 15-minute morning brief on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We will be back with you next Thursday. Thanks for listening. USA,
home of the brave. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now. From the land of the free and the brave, USA, I love my country, they can't take that.